I invite you to take your Bibles and open them up to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12. Title of the message is Run Your Race. My congratulations to all the seniors. I read somewhere that if you were in K through 12, you've probably had over 14,000 hours of instruction. Well, at least you were in class for 14,000 hours. We're proud of you and looking forward to what God's going to do in your life. A world-class runner was invited to compete in a road race, and there was significant prize money involved in this particular race, and also an opportunity for her to further her reputation. So she had been given directions to the event, and got out early and got there, pulled into the parking lot, and there wasn't as many runners as she thought there would be, but no matter, the prize money was going to be the same anyway. So she walks up to the register table, and they recognized her name right away. They were so glad she was there to run, and they couldn't find her name right away. So they said, well, I'm sorry about that. We'll go ahead and fill out her name. Gave her a number, you know, a thing to tag and put on her shirt. And she ran the race, and she wiped out everybody, men and women, by at least 5 minutes on this particular race. Gets to the end of the race, and there's no prize money. What? What in the world was that? Well, she got a little suspicious, started asking around what was going on here, discovered that the race she was actually supposed to be in was in another place a few miles down the road. So she ran the wrong race. She did run it really well, and she ran it with great effort, but she ran the wrong race. I want to talk to you this morning about running in the right race. In Hebrews chapter 12, there is an invitation to all the Christians here to be a part of the right race. And let's read the first few verses here. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Our Father, we ask that for the few moments that we'll spend in your word this morning, that your Holy Spirit will speak to us, through us, change us, conform us into the image of Christ. Altogether, we need this change. This morning, we particularly want to think of our seniors graduating and ask, especially, Lord, would you allow moments and help me to get out of the way, moments in time to speak to their heart too through your word and spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the race the writer's talking about here, of course, is the Christian race, the race characterized by faith and obedience to Christ. This is found in the first 11 chapters of the book of Hebrews. And every Christian, by the way, is registered in this race. They already have their name and have been given their own number. There are three strategies that pop out in these particular verses here we want to go over today. Three things. Hopefully you're going to be able to remember them. The first one is this. Practice healthy habits. If you want to run well in this race that God has placed you in, you got to practice healthy habits. The phrase here is lay aside every weight. Now, I found this in an article in Runner's World. I don't know if you've ever read that magazine before. Runner's World, where a runner will actually lose an extra 1.4 seconds in a marathon race for every pound that they carry overweight. Now, that may not seem like much, but if it comes down to the end and there's a sprint and it's close, that could be the difference between winning and losing, carrying around extra weight. You're not going to see marathon runners look like me. Let's just put it that way. All right. Usually they're kind of a little bit not so tall. Some of them are tall. Most of them are not so tall. And they look like they need to go out and get an icy or something. They're pretty slender and down really pretty tight. But here, healthy habits here, what are we talking about so we don't carry around this extra baggage? What are you talking about, healthy habits? Well, you know, reading your Bible, praying, being involved in a local church, being involved in the community, thinking the right things, doing the right things, those sort of things. Ignoring those kinds of habits, seniors, and everyone else is going to put on this extra poundage. It's not going to make you very effective in the race that God has called you to. And we've all been called to this race. Now, we run different ways, and he has given us different experiences and different opportunities. But don't forget, the race is the same as we run for Christ to proclaim his name with our lives. So we don't want to ignore these healthy habits in our lives. Let me give an example. My freshman year in college, I was literally just zooming through it. I was getting straight A's pretty much, doing very well. And so I decided that, you know, I could take it easy, I guess. I really don't know my thinking back then. But my RA comes in one day and finds me taking an afternoon nap. And he was a Vietnam veteran, helicopter pilot, picking up people in combat areas. He didn't have a whole lot of sympathy or patience with people that would waste time. So immediately he had a conversation with me. I was 17 years old, freshman, and here he is giving me a lecture. I got to tell you, I was getting mad. I was getting really mad. I said, what do you want from me? I'm getting straight A's. He says, it's not about your grades. It's about learning. It's about discipline. It's about coming who God wants you to be. And you're wasting time. I was ticked off. I admit it. But he loved me enough to say it to me. And that started an entire year of mentoring. I finally gave in and said, you know what? You're right. We got up early, long before breakfast, ran miles, memorized scripture, quoted them while we were running, and began to talk about life. When I started to do that, the weight started to come off. Now, I'm not talking about weight because I was pretty skinny. I was already wrestling 167 pounds, if you can believe it, in college. So, whew, that was pretty skinny already, but I'm talking about the spiritual weight, the things we pack on and get comfortable with our Christianity or a form of it. And he started whittling away. He started showing me things in my heart, my attitude, my mind that I needed to change. But it took someone like that to say, hey, you know what? You need to practice some healthy habits. You need to lay aside all this weight you're carrying around because it's not going to help you in your run for Jesus Christ. So when you are out there and you haven't done that, maybe seniors and everybody else, you can start today. Practice healthy habits if you want to run well. Secondly, avoid the potholes. Avoid the potholes. It says right here that you need to lay aside every sin. Now, of course, this is talking about things of a more serious nature. I mean, I could have a bad habit. It may not necessarily be a sin. I could become a sin, obviously, but I'm talking about here the idea of the potholes are sinful things in our lives that scriptures are very clear that you and I are not to practice, not to be a part of. And so these are the things that can trip us up, things that we hold on to. Let me give you an example of what can happen when you ignore those things, those sins in your life. I like to ride bikes. Someone helped me get into it years ago, and they gave me an old road bike. And I was very grateful. I didn't have to pay for it, but it had a few years on it. I could tell it had a little rust here, a little rust there, but I rode it all over Hendricks County. And one day, as I was riding, I was coming uphill, coming into that great metropolitan of Danville, Indiana, and all of a sudden, the bike literally snapped in half. I've never seen that before, or I've never heard or seen it again. The frame in the center just went snap. And of course, I went down because I was going pretty fast. And after I picked myself up, I could literally pick the bike up and it just folded in half. And I dragged it with a very bad attitude, I want you to know. Very angry, blood all over. I'm going up the hill, probably not ready to witness to Jesus, about Jesus to anyone right now. Just get out of my way. And I found the nearest business and called Dawn and said, would you please come get me? What happened? My bike broke. So she came and got me. It was nice of her. I just want you to know that sin works like rust. We all have it, but we can't ignore it. Oh, you can ignore it, but you can't ignore it forever. And as I examined the bike, you know, I noticed the rust on the top part, and I thought, whatever. But when I flipped it upside down, it was a whole lot of rust under there that I never really saw. And that created the situation, the scenario. And I still can't believe a bike actually snapped in half. And I actually survived it. When we don't deal with sin in our life, we're basically seeing that rust, and we're saying, oh, well, I'll just keep riding. It's okay. Or some of us might even say, make ourselves feel better, I'll clean it up later. I'm going to have my good time on my bike right now, but I know it's there, and I know I shouldn't have it, and it should probably get rid of, but I'll clean it up later. You know, I'm young, man. I want to go ahead and ride my bike. And so we're going to say to the Lord, I'll clean it up later. But here's the thing, some funny thing about rust, you don't know when it's going to break. And there are consequences. Oh, you should have seen a picture of me after that particular crash. It wasn't pretty, and neither is life when we don't deal with those potholes in our life, things that are just waiting to cause the crash. Let me give you a Bible example of this, okay? You don't have to turn, but how many of you know the story of Saul and Goliath? I'm glad no one raised their hand. There is no Saul and Goliath. Why? Well, I've heard of David and Goliath. How many have heard of David and Goliath? Okay, thank you. You proved my point. So Saul had this rust issue in his life. He really did. And he was even confronted about it. He even had someone point it out to him and say, this is an issue in your life. Saul let, you ever do that in a Bible lesson? You see one name, you mean another anyway. So Saul, got to get the name right. Saul let those things go, ignored him or whatever, didn't even deal with it. And that rust built up. And so now we have this situation where we've got this huge pothole right in the way, right? He thinks the pothole's Goliath. And Goliath, in fact, let me read it to you here. I've got it here somewhere. Where's it says? Oh, here. And Goliath said, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. There it is. There's his rust issue. He feared Goliath more than he trusted God. Life is scary. You're going to have all kinds of things that'll make you want to be fearful. And they'll be different for everyone. One person's fear will not be another person's fear. We're all different. And some of us will have common fears. It's just the way life is. And here we have Saul, and he missed out on a great opportunity to impact his generation for God. But it's not Saul and Goliath, because he didn't trust in God. He was scared, and this young teenage boy comes waltzing in and says, why in the world are you all standing around here? We got this big old dude. He's an easy target. You can't miss him. Let's get after it in the name of the Lord our God and knock him down. And he's your age, teenagers. You can do great things for God if you don't allow the rust of sin to knock you out of the race. The great thing about that is, as a believer, you can get a new remodeled bike if we confess our sins. He is faithful. He is just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he'll take that nasty, broken in half bike, and he'll say, here you go. Ride well. Saul missed out on a great opportunity, but you don't have to. You can make positive change in your generation if you'll avoid the potholes. They're out there. They're everywhere. You already know about it. Man, you probably stepped in a few. I know I have, and so has everybody else. Practice healthy habits. Avoid the potholes. One more thing. Never give up. Never give up. It says right here, run with endurance. Now, the unique thing about this, it's not, when we think about running with endurance, and it makes sense, we think about a race on a road and we're going a long way, we're all by ourselves and we're just fighting ourselves. But I got to tell you, in life, that's not the way it is. And that's really not the meaning of this word used in this context. The idea of endurance has to be perseverance under trial. Perseverance under trial. Give you a good example of that real quick. Can I have you two guys come up here on stage real quick? Thanks. They didn't know they were going to do this, but they love me, so they're going to do it. All right, so Jonathan, how is it for you to go from here to there? How fast can you just go from here to that little black spot, like little black, no, run. It's a race, man. All right, I'm going to say go, and I want you to do it, okay? Are you sure you're ready? Go! All right, get back here now. Come on. All right, not bad. I'm sure that wasn't your fastest. We'll talk about that later. Jump on his back, will you? There you go. Go! All right, not bad. Okay, come on back here. Woo! All I could think of was our insurance paid up. All right. One more. All right, you ready? All right. Now you're going to run with me on your back. Go. Oh, all right. Let's give him a hand. All right. Woo. Man, I don't know about you, Jonathan. I'm tired. That was hard. That's the idea behind this run with endurance. We think, oh, we're just running for Jesus, and I got my Bible and the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to be fine. I got to tell you, that is not the idea. It's perseverance under trial, suffering, difficulties. That's life. And anybody selling you anything else is selling you a set of goods. Okay? You're going to be tested. You're going to be challenged. And so now, never give up takes on a different context. It's not how things go when things are going well. What are you going to do when things go south? I got to tell you, let's talk to some folks around here. Sometimes it can feel, can't it, like it goes south for a long time. In fact, sometimes we say, Lord, I could lose some sunshine right now. Running, perseverance. I'm going to give you another true example from dummy me, okay? My sophomore year in Cedarville, I almost quit. I take a very difficult science class. I mean, I was done with school. Can you imagine? I don't know what my life would have been like. But anyway, taking this science class, it was very difficult. I didn't like it. That was number one, I'm bad at you. But I worked hard, and I thought, I just need to get through it and get on because whatever. It was, you know, one of those classes everybody has to take. So I go to the end and postings of the grades. I don't know if they do that anymore. They put them on the doors. Now, you're given a number. At least your name's not there. But you're given a number, and I looked, and I said I had failed the class. And I'm like, what? No way. Impossible. I was so upset. So Talk about potholes and laying aside every weight, man. It was all on me then. I was just letting it all happen. I was letting it happen to me. I was upset. I was angry at all that I had done. And I was ready to quit. I had had it with this place. I was going to move on. My roommate, who we weren't that close, but God had him in the right place at the right time. You never know who's God's going to use. You need to have your ears tuned. God's used people I don't even know sometimes to say stuff to me, preach life into my heart and my ears. And he said, listen, I was packing. I want you to know how serious this was. I was packing. I was getting out of there. He said, don't make a decision right now. You're really upset. You think? He says, we're on break and we're going to take a break. When you come back, let's talk about it again. So I agreed. I unpacked, and I went. When I got back, the first place I went to was post office, see what mail I had. And I got there, and inside that was a note from the professor of that class. It said, I'm sorry, I gave you the wrong grade. It was somebody else's grade. Wow. You see what I almost did? Don't be stupid like me. I almost quit. And it wasn't even something that I had done necessarily, but God did teach me something about myself. I wasn't a very good runner at that point, was I? I let something in life happen to me that almost directed me somewhere else. And God made it clear I needed to grow up. Don't give up. You're going to go through more trials. Some of you have been through some serious trials in your life already. Some of you have been through some minor trials. I'm going to tell you something. You live long enough, you're going to go through some great trials. Trials are God's exercise equipment that get you strong. Don't believe me? Read the book of James, chapter 1. Talk about how that suffering just makes you mature and strong in Christ. You're going to make mistakes along the way. Did you know that? You're going to make some really doozies. You're going to fall down at times. And I want you to know everybody does. Everybody has. And the question really is, what are you going to do when you get knocked down? What are you going to do when life just hits you upside, you weren't expecting it, bam, I didn't see that coming. That one really hurt God and I'm really upset. What are you going to do? That's the real question. Because that's the real race in life. Proverbs 24:18 says this, for though a righteous man falls seven times, he will rise again. I love it. You may be down. You may have made some really bad choices. Maybe even sins. But you can rise again. I found this quote. I thought it would be inspirational for you. It was through patient endurance that the snail made it to the ark on time. So, you have to be patient in trial. You'll get out of it when it's time to get out of it, and not a moment before. I can't tell you what God's teaching you and what is how long it's going to be and all that. I'm not a prophet like that. But you can be assured that the trial is there for a reason to help you grow. Don't do what I did. Never give up. Never give up, even though you feel that way. But here's the good news. If you've missed everything else up to this point, I want you to get this. You're never called to run this race alone. Never. Not called. It's not in the scriptures anywhere. Did you catch it even in the reading of it? It said, let us run the race together. We run as a body of Christ for Christ, our captain. So I'm telling you this. When you align yourself with good friends, friends who know the Lord, you align yourself with a good church that preaches the gospel, you align yourself with people around, you're going to have what's called Team Jesus in your life. And those people, they're not perfect either, by the way. Those people are going to run, be running with you their race, and you're running your race for Christ, and they're going to help you. And here's the thing, the devil's going to do everything he can to let you think that you are all alone and by yourself, and nobody cares, and you're stupid, and you're ugly, and you made this mistake, and they can't forgive me for this, and all that stuff. They're lying. You're not alone. We run together. We're all struggling together. We all rejoice together. And we're going to finish this race together. Practice healthy habits. You got to do it, guys. Avoid those potholes. If there's something going on in your life, let's take care of the rust today and never give up. So that's it. You might be asking, how do I know this is actually going to work? Well, I'm glad you asked. You can be sure of it because two things come out of here. The first one is the great cloud of witnesses. Your brothers and sisters in the Lord have gone before us. They weren't perfect people, but they finished the race in faith. They made it. Their lives are testimonies. If you want to read some of the biblical ones, one chapter earlier, you could read all that, but there's a whole longer list than that. And I've had the privilege of knowing a few and some from this church. God, by his grace, brought them to the place where they realized they needed Christ as their Savior. They realized they're not going to get to heaven on their own. They can't earn their way to God. I'm going to bargain my way to heaven. I'm going to pay God back somehow by being good all the time. Well, you can't be good all the time, number one. And there's no way you could pay for the sin debt that we owed. And they realized that it was by grace they're saved through faith in Jesus Christ alone. That's not anything we do as a gift of God. It's not by works. And they trusted in him. And they were saved. And they walked by faith. And now they are part of the cloud of witnesses. Some of you might see your moms and dads up there, your grandpas and grandpas, your friends, your uncles, your cousins, maybe even some here whose children might be there. If they're knowing Christ as their Savior, they're part of this cloud of witnesses. They ran well. But what's even better, the best part's at the end. Look to Jesus. You know how you can finish? You know why I know you can run this race? I can't run. Yeah, you can. Jesus, the founder, perfecter of faith, what did he do? He ran great, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. There's endurance, suffering under trial, running under great duress. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and what happened to him? Finished well, seated at the right hand of the throne of God, forever interceding for the saints. That's our Savior. And if he could do it, and since he did it for us, you can do it too. It's up to you. So what are you going to do? Seniors, moms and dads, everyone else? What you don't want is to find out you're in the wrong race. You could run sincerely, like the world-class champion in our story. You could run a great race, but how sad it would be to get to the end of your life and realize I was in the wrong race the whole time. If you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, he has put you in this race for the souls of men, for you to be image bearers and to use the gifts that he's given you. And I've heard all these different majors and degrees, and fantastic, God bless you. I want you to be the very best at those areas that you can be, but not just for your glory, for the glory of God, and to draw people to the Lord Jesus Christ. You do that, you're going to hear what's worth than any prize money. You're going to hear this. Keep your money. I want to hear this. Keep all your prize. I want to hear this. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's pray together. Father, as we think about this great passage in Hebrews, the encouragement that it gives all of us, seniors and everyone else, that we have been given a wonderful opportunity to run a race well for Christ. I pray that you will use this word to speak to the hearts and minds of all of us. Where there's a little extra weight, habits that we have or we carry, thoughts that we allow to manipulate us, and to put a context in a situation that's not even there, may we put those aside. And Father, for the rust that's in our lives, the sins that we are not dealing with, maybe even sins we don't know about on the underside of the bike we ride, dear God, help us to avoid those potholes by confessing those things to you. And we ask that you would reveal those things so that we can walk right. And then, Father, above all else, may we be like the saints of old and the Lord Jesus Christ himself. May we never give up. For the glory of God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ, I pray you'll bless these seniors. Use them to further the kingdom of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.